둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Right. That's cool. Sure. Okay.
Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the series. I do hope you hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around. You do that, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones as well. And you can do it at all the usual spots like iTunes, Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Really, anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And that's me, I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with Blondie drummer Clem Burke. Blondie just released a new box set called Against the Odds, and they've got an album on the way, probably out next year. So we're going to talk about how the archival project had its influence felt on the new collection, and then we'll head back in time to talk about the creative progression in songs like Heart of Glass, as well as them being a multi-genre band, right? Like right from the very start. He'll tell us about the enormous impact David Bowie had on the group as well. We're also going to discuss how the next record will feature Johnny Marr and have a cover on it. He'll tell me about his favorite Blondie needle drops in recent shows and movies, and if we can expect him to perform with the Eurythmics in their upcoming Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. Clem played on their earliest records. So let's do it. We're talking about Against the Odds. It's Kyle Meredith with Clem Burke of Blondie.
Hi, Kyle. How are you today?
Yeah, let me say first how fun it's been to dive into this brand new box set, Against the Odds. Looking back at you guys for 50 years, there's a lot to dig through as well.
Yeah, it's for the super fan, really. You know, Against the Odds, the title comes from the fact that it's really against the odds that we would have had this kind of success and be able to look back and reflect on it all. And coincidentally, it comes at a time when we've just completed a new album as well. So we're kind of like working both sides of the tracks at the moment. So it's kind of good, you know, instead of just looking back, we're looking forward at the same time.
Yeah, that's got to be an interesting thing, especially most people like to look forward and to have a new album. But suddenly you're like, oh, by the way, let's go all the way back to the beginning while we're doing this. Like, do you find that the two projects get to talk to each other at all in that way?
Well, of course, there's distinct influences within the new music that come from Blondie, you know, from the members, that kind of reflects upon the older music, especially the album we did prior to this new one called Pollinator. We regrouped in the studio and decided we all needed to be in one place at one time in order to make the record work for us and, you know, create the chemistry that we have on stage. So we went about the same process again with this new album. And yeah, you know, once in a while, there's kind of a signature guitar riff or drum riff or a vocal that Debbie's doing that might be reminiscent of something from back in the day. But that's kind of has to do with the style of the band in general. You know, it's okay to rip off yourself, you know. I think like on Pollinator, there is a song called "The Long Time," and it kind of has reminiscent Heart of Glass in some ways.
I love that song. We played it a ton over here at FPK in Louisville. And I mean, it's still, yeah, so many of them. You know, what was my first thought like of surprise when this box set was announced? I was like, wait a second. How is it that you all have not done this already? Like, it seems like something that, you know, you like a lot of bands, you waited sort of 50 years for this to happen. And I know time had to actually exist before it could happen, but... But why did it take till now to do this box set? Was there any reason for that?
Well, it was kind of initiated by our manager, Tommy Manzi. And he thought that being that there isn't one that exists, it was time to do one. And we were all on board with that. And Chris Stein in particular has always been a hoarder. So I had a feeling he had quite a bit of archival material to go through. So it took us a while to review everything, and then with the state of the world, you know, it took a while for it to come out, which is another reason why it's called Against the Odds.
Yeah, well, the fun thing about listening to it, of course, is hearing that process, you know, from in the early days, the way the songs come together. You know, you've got Disco Song and Once I Had Love that eventually does become Heart of Glass. Like, I don't know how you listen to them, because I'm sure you hear the work in maybe those moments, but you're like, how did you all know that you had finally cracked these songs? Because in these early incarnations for some bands, they would have been, okay, that's it, that's the song. But, you know, you all just kept working at it until it becomes what we know are these classics.
Well, it's interesting because there is all of the original demos that we did back in the mid 70s for a guy that was helping us, a guy called Alan Bedrock, who had a newspaper magazine called New York Rocker, and he was a big early supporter of Blondie. And so the Once I Had a Love song is included in the archival box, along with I think four other songs that really never did ever see the light of day, where they were never formally recorded, one of which was a song called Platinum Blonde, which was kind of Debbie's calling card at the time, and we've never released that officially. It's just on the demo. And I'm not sure why we never revisited those songs, but we certainly did revisit Heart of Glass, or the Disco Song as it was called. And it was really on the album Parallel Lines is when we began working with our producer, Mike Chapman, who kind of initiated us investigating that song a little more. And had we known what it was, we had no idea. It was, you know, it's buried on the second side of the vinyl album, track number 8. So we just thought we were experimenting, you know, at the time. It was kind of a assimilation of Kraftwerk and Donna Summer, if you will. We're all big Kraftwerk fans, and that's really the impetus to begin working with synthesizers came from.
I mean, you guys were always good at that. You still are good at that, but Kraftwerk and Donna Summer, I mean, it's funny that when we think back, you know, I guess like pre-streaming days, even to a point pre-internet days, but everything is so genre specific. And nowadays it's less genre specific, especially for, you know, for artists, for younger artists. But you always seem to fit in that category too, because like those are two so different things that we think of, you know. Was that always obvious to you all that, you know, like you weren't just a new wave band, you weren't just a punk band, you weren't just a rock, you whatever, you know?
Well, we were big proponents of experimentation and thinking outside the box, I guess, to coin a phrase. But, you know, the Ramones were fantastic, but they really did only have one sound, especially in the early days. We always kind of had a musical palette that was much broader than that. Whether or not we achieved it to its completion, it took a while, i.e. Heart of Glass, for instance. But yeah, we were always influenced by many, many different styles of music. I mean, I particularly like bubblegum music, things like 1910 Fruit Gum Company, Ohio Express. Chris was a big R&B fan. You know, we all liked Kraftwerk. We all liked the New York Dolls. We all liked the Velvet Underground. So it was kind of like a really melting pot of influences that kind of created the sound of Blondie. We were able to go wherever we wanted to go. And that's kind of how it was, you know, for us. We weren't really particularly stuck in one medium of style, I guess.
And like, who were you all? And we listened to those the 1974 sessions. Like, who are you all at that point? Because this is a little, this is pre-punk, as we would have heard it anyway. And it's like, at this point, to me, like, you all are definitely drenched in your 60s influences during those sessions.
Right. And also, you know, I mean, David Bowie was always a big influence on us. And I think he kind of informed the new wave punk rock in a lot of ways. I think even the people in the Sex Pistols admit to that. Everybody was a Bowie fan, glam rock, Mark Bolan. So there's a bit of that in the sound as well. And we were kind of at the midst of the kind of the breakup of the New York Dolls, and everyone was influenced by the New York Dolls in one way or another. And I think song like Platinum Blonde on those demos is kind of like could be like kind of a female version of a New York Dolls song in a way. You know, the lyrics are kind of witty, and the points of reference, you know, are kind of like not the obvious, I think. But, you know, we were just, we were influenced by, like I said, the whole glam rock scene in New York City and, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, the Bowie here over my shoulder, Bowie here over my shoulder, Bowie here over my shoulder.
Yeah, you know, our first national tour in the States, when the first album came out, was with Iggy Pop with David on keyboards, when Iggy was promoting the Idiot album. So that was kind of amazing. We played two nights at Max's Kansas City, got into like a little mobile home, no idea who was driving it to this day, one bed in it. And then we wound up in Montreal the next morning in the dressing room, and David and Iggy walked in and introduced themselves, and it was completely amazing, you know. So yeah, Bowie was a big influence on everyone, obviously.
Do you find that you've got a I don't know, favorite era these days that you turn, is it still that era that you turn to mostly
of Bowie?
Yeah,
well, Ziggy Stardust, I suppose, just an anniversary coming up, right? That there's a really a couple of good magazines out about the history of the whole Ziggy Stardust thing. We just played in Hull, Mick Ronson's hometown. They have a memorial to Mick Ronson there. Yeah, we were all at Carnegie Hall when David did the Ziggy Stardust show. That was very early on. You know, we didn't know each other, but we were all actually all there. So there you go. You can see the influence right there from the beginning.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's Kyle Meredith with, and I'm talking with Clem Burke of Blondie.
And I'll just quickly mention some other treasures in this box set real quick. I mean, you've got Moonlight Drive, that right. Doors cover right there. Were there any other covers that you all were doing at the time that just didn't make it to tape? Because that feels like that's one of those, like, you know, you're a new band. You play the cover songs.
Yeah, well, we did do a cover of I Like Playing With Fire by the Runaways. We did Heat Wave very early on before I think Linda Ronstadt had resurrected and had a hit with it. There was a lot of covers, things like that. There's an Ike and Tina Turner song we used to do. I can't remember right now the name of it. And we have an ongoing history of cover songs. I mean, Hanging on the Telephone is a cover song. Our first kind of hit in the UK, Denis Denis, was a cover by a doo-wop, New York doo-wop group, Randy and the Rainbows. And then later on, Tide is High by the reggae group, the Paragons, is a cover. So, we used to cover a lot, like New York Dolls songs, Ramones songs, things like that, Johnny Thunder songs.
Well, again, it's so cool to hear this stuff. And Mr. Sights here, that's a great one as well. But you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't just even more excited about what happens next with you all. I loved Pollinator. I really did. And to hear you all teaming, like John Congleton, is that who you're working with again on this one?
Yeah. With the same modus operandi of Pollinator, basically. Yeah, everything's in place. And I don't want to call it Pollinator 2, but I think it'd probably be somewhat reminiscent of that. We're doing a cover, speaking of cover songs, by a very underground 60s New York group that'll be kind of surprising for people to hear. And there's a lot of original material. We're doing another Johnny Marr, contributed another song, Johnny Marr from the Smiths. And when we were on tour in the UK, Johnny was not gracious enough to be our opening act, our special guest. So we had a really great tour with Johnny, about a dozen arenas in the UK just recently. So there's a lot going on, all kind of synchronistically hooking up right now. And then, so that's going to be exciting.
There's lots going on. You're right. And
yeah, there's a lot
going
on
your,
at the moment.
I'm hearing all of your songs and all the biggest shows right now, The Boys, Westworld, Better Call Saul.
Oh, right, all that. Like, yeah, it's incredible, huh?
Yeah.
Titus High was just on Better Call Saul, right?
Do you find that you have, it's going to be one of those on the spot questions, I apologize, so it's fine if you don't have an answer. Do you have like a favorite, what we call the needle drop these days, like, you know, that movie moment for Blondie music?
Oh, geez. Well, I think these days, I remember, I think Heart of Glass is in Donnie Brasco, the Johnny Depp, when they're on the yacht with Pacino and Johnny Depp and Michael Madsen. I mean, that's an older movie now, but I think it's always on.
That's classic.
HBO or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's HBO, the documentary about, not the documentary. Anyway, Angelina Jolie plays her, the model. And anyway, the opening is Heart of Glass. I can't remember.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. I'm not any help on that one either, but.
Yeah, it'll come to me, actually, because the person the movie's about was a friend of ours, and her name is Gia. She was a model. Gia Gimbody. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, it's always fun just hearing, you know, watching these shows and suddenly hearing, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the sound of the band has kind of become like a part of the fabric of, modern day pop culture. It's interesting. You know, people know the songs. They don't necessarily know the artist. I think that's true of a lot of people. And then when they hear the songs, oh, yeah, that's right. I know what that is, you know, for younger kids. And yeah, the legacy of the band is definitely the music. That's for sure.
It's great music. I'm looking forward to the new stuff too, Clem. And then I'll end on this. Eurythmics are getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Are you part of that at all?
Well, I congratulate the both of them. And maybe. Yeah, that when we did some good stuff with Eurythmics over the years. I was playing with them initially when Blondie was still going back in 1980. We made an album in Germany with the producer Connie Plank, who actually produced Kraftwerk, called In the Garden. And then we did a record Revenge album. Then we did this world tours. And yeah, perhaps. I played at Dave's birthday party a couple of years ago in the UK. That was fun, at Dave Stewart's birthday. And, you know, they remain friends. It was a good time. You're in the mix. And I'm happy to see them get in the Hall of Fame finally. It's well-deserved.
It's a good class too. I was just talking with Simon LeBon, of course, Duran Duran's in there.
Oh, okay.
Talking with Neil and Pat soon. So yeah, it's a good class this year. I'm excited about that.
Yeah,
and
so.
And I would be remiss if I didn't also compliment the Empty Hearts. I loved what you guys do as well. So
the Empty Hearts. Yeah.
Hopefully there'll be some space for that in the future.
Band. I had high hopes for that band. It's hard to say where that's going. We did two albums. The latest album came out on Steve Van Zandt's label, Wicked Cool. You know, the members, Elliot from the Cars and Wally Palmer from the Romantics and a guy called Andy Babute from the Chesterfield Kings. If people haven't heard those records, there's two albums out. It's good stuff. You know, it's very much shows our roots of the four of us, you know, very 60s influenced, but modern at the same time. And Ed Stasium, amazing producer, produced the Ramones, Talking Heads, Living Color. Ed worked with us on both of those albums. He's an amazing guy as well. Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
I'm sure there always is. Clem, thanks so much for taking the time to talk about it today, man. This has been such an honor.
All right, Kyle. Thanks. Everybody stay safe. Be well. Okay. Take care, man. Bye.
My thanks to Clem Burke. Blondie, the new box set is called Against the Odds. Thanks to you as well for checking out the episode in the series. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're here. Three new interviews every single week. That's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All three of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.